Lift up your heads, O ye gates, this morning, and let the King of Glory come in. Amen. Now, who is this King of Glory? The Lord. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. Oh, and when we have those heads lifted up, when we have those hands lifted up, do that again. Wave those hands before the Lord. You know, that's good. That looks good. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, look at all the hands that are lifted up to you. I mean, that's just the Lord. Praise God. Now move on every heart and every soul. Blessed be thy name, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to give one short exhortation, and then it won't be too long. Don't worry about it. You know, I've already timed it. Praise the Lord. I want to speak shortly on divine appointments. Amen. Divine appointments. I want you to pay attention real close. Now, what is a divine appointment? Well, a divine appointment is a meeting that was arranged by God. You know, he inspired it, he arranged it, he planned it, whether or not the participants of the meeting know about it. Amen? Amen. That's right. Now, listen to that again. A divine appointment is an arrangement that God engineered by himself. The participants of the meeting may not even know anything about it, but God's already set it in place. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes here this morning. Divine appointments, you know. Now, many times, what God does, you know, he does some things to put a person or persons in the right place at the right time. You know, and when God does that, you know, everything he does is beautiful. Praise the Lord. So let me just share a few examples in the Bible. There are many inspirational stories in the Bible, but we don't have time to share them all. I will just share a few, you know, things that God engineered and put somebody in the right place and somebody in the right, you know, moment and so forth. Now, the Lord will bless us, but we always have to be in the right place, you know, and God will instruct us, you know, but we always have to listen to the Lord, you know, and so on. You know, but there are even times when God takes things out of our control. We don't even know what God is doing, and he'll just make things happen because he already has a plan. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. Well, let me share these stories quickly with you from the Bible, and then you might, you know, understand that even better. Now, there's a story here in Genesis 24. This is the story of Abraham's servant going to pick out a wife for Isaac. You know, so in Genesis 24, starting at verse 21, so the servant prayed, the servant prayed from verses 12 to 21. He prayed and said, Lord, give me good speed this morning. I mean, today, you know, let it be that, you know, when the ladies come out, you may know the rest of the story. I don't want to go into all the story, but here's his prayer. You know, let this lady be that one that I say, if I ask her water to drink, you know, she will not only give me, but also give my camels, you know, and so forth. Well, and Abraham had strictly charged him what to do and what not to do. You know, go to the house of my family, and that's where you're going to find a wife and so on. You know, so, well, he's there. He doesn't know who's coming, but he prayed this prayer. So the next thing we know, here comes Rebecca. Praise the name of the Lord. And it turned out that Rebecca was exactly like, you know, from the family, you know, so, and he didn't know that, he was just there, you know, and about the right time, just as he finished his prayer, Rebecca came to fetch water and so forth. And he ran to her and said, well, give me something to drink and so on. So verse 17, he ran to her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, well, drink. She hasted and gave him drink. And when she finished drinking, when she had done that and so forth, she said, look, I'm going to draw water for your camels also, and they shall drink. My goodness. And this was exactly the prayer that this man prayed. So the man in verse 21, he stood there and wondered and held his peace and was looking to see whether the Lord has made his way prosperous. Is this the Lord that has shown me good favor today? And is this the way the Lord would answer? That was exactly one way that the Lord would do it. You know, the Lord brought the right person to that place at the very right time. Amen. Now, he didn't know about it. Of course, he prayed. This was an example where somebody actually prayed, looking for God to do something for him. But I'm going to show you some other examples where, you know, they didn't even know anything about it. Now, this one, he specifically prayed that the Lord should direct and let the person be, let the right person be, you know. How am I going to know who to find? I don't know. I got to search through all this. Lord, just make it to be that the person that I will meet will be the right person. And if I say this to them, let them say such a thing back to me, and then I will know that that's the right person. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 9, we are told that, look, a man plans his way. Amen? But the Lord directed his paths. Amen. That's the Lord is the one that does this. In fact, in the same chapter, the very last verse of that chapter, I believe it's verse 33 or something, it says that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. In other words, you throw the dice, well, whatever, but how it comes out is of the Lord. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. This is just, a wisdom for you to know that, the Lord, he knows what he's doing. Now, God doesn't exactly throw any dice. Amen. God doesn't need to throw dice. He knows exactly what is going to happen. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Are you still with me, folks? When I was a kid, I used to play chess. In fact, I played, challenge chess or championship chess and so forth for a while. And when you're playing chess, how many of you know what the game of chess is? You have to, think ahead and so forth. Well, the Lord, this is the way the Lord is with chess, if you want to think of it that way. If when the game of chess would start, let's say the Lord was playing, the Lord could checkmate the devil right off the bat. he doesn't need, he can make one move and the devil can't make any move at all. Praise the name of the Lord. And the devil, the devil has to wait for God to do something and then try to foul it up. But the Lord, he knows every step way in advance that anybody, including the devil, is going to take. Hallelujah. Including you. Any step that you're going to take, even mistakes that you are going to make, the Lord already knows. And if you trust him completely, actually you make fewer mistakes. But even if when you do make mistake, when you trust the Lord, he knows how to bring it all out. Because he knows the end, even from the beginning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So, we see that God, he knows how to direct our paths. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, I love this one. He says in verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In other words, he will lead you into the paths that, and if you are going on the path that God appointed for you, and somebody else is going. Now, if you're, let's say you are not married and you're looking for someone to marry. If you're going on the right path and the other person is going on their right path, God will eventually make those two paths intersect. How many of you know that? Praise the Lord. So you don't worry about that. You just trust in the name of the Lord. And whatever else you're doing, God will bring it to pass. Amen. All right. So let me move on to the next example. I have a few examples here. I don't want this to be too long. There's another example here in the story of Esther chapter 6. And I love this story. And a few years ago, you're going to have to check the internet for the message that's called Table in the Presence of Your Enemies. You're going to have to go read that. It's an interesting message. But anyway, this story, this is about this man, Haman, and Hanan and Mordecai. So, how the story goes, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but I'm going to just pick up a few verses in Esther chapter 6. Now, you can read all of Esther chapter 6, but I'm not going to read it all. But the story is that, this man, Hanan, who rose up to some point in the kingdom, and everybody was honoring him except Mordecai, who wouldn't bow before him. So he got very angry and he plotted how to kill him, made gallows and all of that, and was looking for ways to do all kinds of things to him. So that's the story. But, something very interesting happened. Praise the Lord. So one day, let me just read here. One day, Mordecai, he said, he wanted to go into the king's court. Haman wanted to go into the king's court. Now, there's something that Mordecai had done for the king a couple of times before. He had saved his life by telling of plots that were against him, but nothing had been done. So one night, the king was sleeping, and then the angel of the Lord, praise the Lord, the angel of the Lord troubled his sleep, gave him some things, in his mind. Then all of a sudden, he woke up and said, wait a minute, bring me the books. And then he brought the books and then read and so forth. Then he found something that, Mordecai had done twice to save the life of the king. And the king said, was there anything ever done for this man that did this? He said, no. I said, wow. Now, who do you think made that man to be troubled and start thinking about that and start saying, go bring me the books to read? It was the Lord. Because the Lord was engineering something. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And finally, so when Hanan came into the court, the king said, just about that right time, at the very right time, the king said, hey, who's in the court? He said, Hanan. I said, oh, come on around here. So, Hanan, he thinks, well, the king's going to do me another honor and so forth. And the king said to him, look, if there is somebody that the king wants to honor, what should we do to the person? Oh, so Hanan, thinking that it would be himself, he said, well, give him your ring, your royal this, your that, the crown that you wear, the this and that, your chariot and everything. And may proclaim his name through the land. And the king said, really? He said, yes. He said, okay, you go do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Mordecai is the man that I'm going to honor. And you will be the one to proclaim him all throughout the place. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he came in. You see, this is divine appointment. God appointed this that it will be Hanan that will come into the court at the time that the king will say, who's there in the court? And he said, Hanan. Oh, come on in. So God set that exact time in place. See, Hanan didn't know anything about it. The king himself didn't know that, Hanan was going to be there. And the king didn't know, it all worked out that way. And Mordecai is there, minding his business and doing his thing and so forth. And the next thing promotion. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Promotion. Carry his name all over the place and so forth. Let him ride upon the horse. Promote him. And it was his very enemy. That's why we call it table in the presence of your enemies. It was his very enemy that wanted to kill him that God told to serve the table. Hallelujah. Serve the table and let Mordecai eat it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's an interesting story. I don't have time to dig deep into all these stories, but I'm going to just drop it there. Now, here's another one in the book of... Now, this one is a little bit strange. The book of Acts chapter 8. This is the story of Philip and the eunuch. Now, Philip, he went to Samaria. Did a great revival, and there was great joy in that city. And the next thing the Lord says to him, leave all that revival, go over here, and so forth, in the desert. Well, desert? Our revival going on here. But he listened to the Lord. Now, there was this man, this eunuch of Ethiopia, that was going along and so forth in his chariot. And at the right point, at the right time, he was right there. And he was reading a book, the book of Isaiah, and he understand it. And the Lord told Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And right there, he was able to explain and expound to him and bring salvation to that man who took that gospel back to Africa. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Divine appointment right there at that very time. And God was pleased with Philip's obedience and caught him away by the Spirit of the Lord, just like that. So God appointed that meeting. The Enoch didn't know about it. Even Philip himself didn't know. God just told him, go over there. He didn't know where I was going. Why should I leave all this revival that's going on? Just don't worry about it. Just go over there. And he went. And boom. Something tremendous happened. And God brought salvation to that Enoch. And he carried that message back to Africa and so forth. Praise the name of the Lord. Now listen to this story. There's a couple more that I want to share with you quickly. And then I'm going to bring out a point here. In the book of John chapter 5. Verses 1 to 9. There was a story of a man who had an infirmity of 38 years. And you've heard me preach about this a few times, several times maybe. He kept coming every time. But this one time he came and there was a divine appointment with the master himself. Amen. He was going to meet with the master in heaven. He didn't know it. Of course, Jesus knew it. So this man, he's looking for the stirring of the water. He's looking for that time that the angel would come. And when the Lord asked him a question and said, well, would that be made for himself? Of course. But, you know, I'm too slow. Somebody gets in ahead of me and they get a miracle. See? But the Lord had something in store for him that he didn't know, because he thought his miracle was coming from somewhere else. Are you still with me? Don't worry about how the Lord's going to do it. Don't think it's the water or the angel or the whatever. The master is right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So he's looking to the water, looking to this and looking to that. But the Lord was right there. So that was something else that God set up. And this man knew nothing about it. And the Lord, he just took care of it. And the rest of the story, you know, this man was healed instantly of 38 years of of infirmity like he did. And there were so many other folks there that day that was not, they were not healed, but this one man had a meeting with destiny. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Quickly, I'm going to tell you another story here. This one I like. Story in 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is the story of Elijah. And Elijah was, you know, a rough kind of prophet, you know, and he came and pronounced judgment, no rain until I bring word again. So the Lord told him, well, go over here and so on. And I've commanded, you know, the ravens, they will feed you. So he went over to the brook and he was there. And after a long while, the brook itself dried up. Hallelujah. Now, there's a story in that by itself. There's a lesson there by itself. So, but that's not my topic today. But since I'm on it, I'm just mentioning that just because the Lord told you to do something yesterday doesn't mean that he can't tell you to do something different today. Amen? Amen? That's right. See, because the Lord told him, go over there, the ravens will bring you. And the ravens brought him food, morning and evening. He didn't have to do anything. Room service was already there. He ate free meals. You know. But then the brook dried up. And I've always asked the question, could not God have prevented the brook from drying up? Of course he could, but he didn't. Praise the Lord. Because he didn't, so that I can preach this message this morning for the next part of it. So he didn't. He let that brook dry up. And sometimes your brook may be dried up. Amen? Amen. That's right. The brook where you are at may be dried up. Now God has a way of answering prayers. Sometimes people will be praying, God do this something, and God may be telling you that you need, that brook is dry. But you can stay there and be praying over that water and so forth. But the brook is already dry. You got to move on when the brook is dry. Amen. Amen. God already has something, but you know, Elijah didn't know it. And even the woman didn't know it. So let's pick the story up at 1 Kings chapter 17. Now this is quite an interesting story because of what the Lord said, and I want to read verse 9 of what the Lord said here, and that's what makes it exactly very interesting, because you have to read the whole story, and I'm sure many of you know that story, but I don't have time to read it all. But here's what the Lord said: arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. See, this is the story. I, the Lord, have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, the widow woman knew nothing about it. Elijah didn't know anything about it until the Lord made this statement. But now he knows. But the woman herself had no knowledge of what God had already done. But God was going to get 2-for-1 right here. 2-for-1. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, of course, God could have continued to feed Elijah there. So there's no problem. He can continue to do that. He can make the water flow again, bring the ravens and so forth. But God needed to get 2-for-1. That widow needed some help too. You know, and meanwhile, he's going to take care of Elijah. And 2 of them are going to take care of each other. But they don't know it just yet. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. God has your miracle working. Amen. 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 Whether you know it or you don't know it, he said, I have already commanded this woman. And even this woman, you read the rest of the story, you see that the woman had no clue that God had made any such commandment. But yeah, God had commanded it. Praise the Lord. So when Elijah goes down to this place, and the first woman he finds is exactly the woman that God had commanded to feed him. And he says to her, lady, what do you have in the house? You know, and so forth like that. And lady said, well, you know, just nothing, you know, just little flour here. Break it. I'm going to die. This is the last food. The famine has been so great. And when I break this bread, eat it, die with my son, that's it. We're done. And Elijah said, well, that's all right. But nobody's dying today. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody is dying today. You go and bake me first a little bread. Bring it to me. And thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen, folks. And Elijah brought the word of the Lord. And of course, you know the rest of the story. The barrel of meal, the cruse of oil will not waste, just like Elijah said. Really, from verses, from about, that whole place, really to verse 21. I mean, or verse 17. And it came to pass after these things, and so forth, verse 16, I'm sorry. And the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, and so forth. So the woman went and did what Elijah said, and tremendous blessings followed. Now, what I want to bring out in this is the fact that this woman, God was going to use her to sustain Elijah, but she knew nothing about it. Praise the Lord. God does not have to disclose everything to you. Sometimes he may, sometimes he may not. Well, God did disclose to Elijah. He was a prophet. But even then, Elijah didn't know everything. But once God told him, he knew. But the other woman didn't know. And I want to tell you today that God's got something working for you. Amen. Amen. He's got something cooking. And you may not know anything. Even the person and persons that God may use or will use may not even know anything about it. But you just trust the Lord, because that's what he does best. Amen. He's engineering these things. He makes this divine appointment. He puts you in the right place and so forth. Now, I have got personal testimony or testimonies to tell you of divine appointments in my life. But I don't want to take time for that today. But you can look back in your life also and see, for a child of God that's walking in God's ways, there is no such thing as happenstance. Amen. Or coincidence, or something just happened. There's no such thing like that. God is the one that's engineering these things, and he has something working in your favor. Amen. And even though you may not see it just yet, you just trust in the name of the Lord. The Lord has commanded something to happen for you. Praise the Lord. And you may say, well, my situation is this or that. Don't worry about it. The Lord has the answer. And the Lord has a way that he's going to make something come out of it to his own glory. Amen. Amen. Now listen to this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And I love this. I love to read these promises from God, so that I encourage you. The Bible says, we are given this exceeding great and precious promises, so that through them we might become partakers of divine nature. Here's what the Lord said. He said in verse 12 of Isaiah 55, and so shall ye go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees, see, this is the part that I want to emphasize this morning that goes with this message. The trees of the field, God has already lined them up to celebrate your success. Amen. They may not know it yet, but the word of the Lord has gone forth, and it cannot return unto him void. That's in verse 11 of the same chapter. These trees of the field, God has lined them up, and they are going to clap their hands for you. Amen. Amen. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Well, I can see the fields and the trees and everything singing on my behalf already. Hallelujah. I can see God doing great things for me already. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want the praise team, come on back. That's a short exhortation for us today. And, I want to let you know that I can see everything turning around. Amen. If you see, can you see by faith that God's already got things working for you? Amen. I can see everything turning around. Everything turning around. Everything is turning around for my good. I can see everything turning around. Everything is turning around for my good. I can see everything turning around. around. Everything is turning around. Turning around. Oh my Lord, I can see everything turning around. Everything is turning around. Everything is turning around. Oh my Lord,
I can see everything.
Turning around, everything is turning around, everything is turning around. Oh my God, I can see everything turning around, turning around, everything is turning around. Oh my God,
hallelujah! I can see everything turning around for my good.
Amen.
Now that's the eye of faith. That's faith horizons. Huh? Whether you see it or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is God's divine appointments working on your behalf.
Amen.
God is working on your behalf.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's another song that says, I see God working in your favor.
Oh, yeah.
He's working in your favor.
Oh, yeah.
He's got things lined up that you don't even know about. You just trust in the Lord. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lay not your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy works unto your hands, the desires of your heart, and he shall grant them to you. He will bring them to pass. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.